Welcome to episode 263 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we continue our study of 1 Thessalonians. Let's begin with 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. The day of the Lord is a phrase found frequently in Old Testament judgment passages. It describes a decisive end-time intervention by God with a strong emphasis on the negative consequences of disobedience. In the passage that we just read, Paul combines this earlier concept with the thief analogy, which Jesus introduced. Matthew 24, verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. The threefold combination of the day of the Lord, a thief in the night, and contractions just before birth all illustrate the same point. The second coming of Jesus will be sudden, unexpected, and inescapable for the wicked. The end time is not the time to prepare for the end. The time for preparation is now. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. This verse makes it clear that Paul is not scolding the Thessalonians. They already know that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. It is others who cry peace and safety who will be surprised by the coming destruction. Acts 1, verses 6 and 7. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Here, the disciples of Jesus are asking him about the timing of the final events of earth's history. But Jesus does not satisfy their curiosity about these things. The timing of the end is not for them to know. We can see that phrase, times or seasons, concerns attempts to calculate the timing of the end. Such attempts, which continue even to today, attract attention, but they are spiritually counterproductive. They cause either disappointment when the calculated time passes, or delay in preparation when the anticipated time is too far ahead. Many have tried to predict the day of the Lord, but Jesus says it is not for us to know. Jesus, speaking in Luke 11, warns us about the coming day of the Lord. Verses 34 to 36. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Many people, through such things as alcohol and entertainment, try to escape from spiritual responsibility. Others may be concerned about spiritual preparation for the end, but are distracted by the cares and anxieties of life. The suddenness of the end, however, means that the time is coming when there will be no escape for the distracted or the complacent. How do we live with the sense of urgency, with the awareness of the nearness of Christ's coming, and yet not get into fanaticism or extremism? How do we strike a right balance? In the opening verses of 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul addresses the condition of those who, for whatever reason, are not prepared. The Thessalonians already know that the reality of the second coming is certain, only the timing is unknown. The surprise will be tragic for those who are not ready. Some are unprepared because they don't believe in the second coming. Others because they think they can delay their preparation until events convince them the end is near. It was late in the 1950s. A young man heard a preacher say that Jesus was coming in 1964, thus the church better get ready. The young man decided that because it was still a number of years off, he wouldn't bother himself about getting ready until maybe 1962. In other words, the preacher's intention to increase the sense of urgency had the opposite effect on this young man. Such delay is perilous, of course, because you don't know if you will live through even today. The good news is that we don't need to know when Jesus is coming in order to be ready now. Let's revisit verse 4. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. And verse 5. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. In these verses, Paul begins a series of contrasts with day, night, and darkness, light. A ruin-rescue contrast is implied in verse 3. Unbelievers will be surprised by the events of the end, but believers will not be surprised. Why? Because they live in the light. Psalm 119 verse 105 tells us that the Bible is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Prophecy is given so that we can have enough information in order to be spiritually prepared for whatever lies ahead. Preparation for the second coming involves investing serious time in the Word of God. Preparation is the act of laying up treasure in heaven. Preparation is about a daily surrender to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 6 to 8. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Paul begins verse 6 with so then, or therefore, depending on the translation. He has established that true followers of Jesus are children of the light and of the day. While verse 7 offers a bit of a digression, verses 6 and 8 encourage the Thessalonians to be awake, sober, and armed for the challenges ahead. Paul contrasts being asleep with being awake. Because believers belong to the day, they should not sleep, as the night is for sleeping. Sleep here is a metaphor for spiritual laziness or lack of interest. The expression, let us not sleep, in the original, means don't even start sleeping. Paul assumes that they're already awake, but encourages them to persevere in watchfulness more and more. Paul then encourages them to be sober rather than drunk. In the ancient world, soberness was a symbol for philosophical reason. Paul wants the Thessalonians to be thoughtful and careful in their reasoning from Scripture. Some use the Bible for date setting and speculation. Paul wants believers to be focused instead on the implications of Scripture for their own spiritual preparation. The daytime is associated with being awake and sober. It is at night that people sleep, and usually at night when they get drunk. But in verse 8, Paul switches to the imagery of a military guard. Guards need to be awake and sober at all times, day and night. So soldiers need to exceed the norm when it comes to watchfulness. Paul likewise expects Christians to exceed the norm when it comes to preparation for the second coming. And like soldiers, Christians should put on all of their equipment before taking their posts. Father, help us to be sober, to be vigilant, to be prepared for the day of the Lord. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.